the best Kiwi event in New Zealand, this.
Crossing New Zealand in 1 or 2 days.
Why do I do it? Because I love it.
3, 2, 1, go!
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another Kathmandu Coast to Coast podcast brought to you, of course, by Team CP, your endurance coaching specialist. You know, I would normally say the podcast that is designed to get you from the west coast of the South Island all the way across to the east coast. But tonight, I want to say this is the podcast that was It's the podcast that got you across from the west coast to the east coast. Hopefully. Richard Greer, welcome to it.
Yeah, thank you. Well done. Well done. And what a successful weekend. Great to be part of that event. And actually really good to have some, like, it was tough in the kayak, but some pretty speedy conditions, and great to see so many longest day athletes, especially making it to the finish line this year, which was pretty special.
Yeah, I mean, the 42nd running of the Kathmandu Coast to Coast, it was, look, all in all, it was some pretty good weather, really, for 2 days, Friday. That was a golden day.
It was a golden day. How good was it at Klondike Corner, chilling out in the sun? That's definitely one of the best parts of the whole event, isn't it? Sort of having done your thing and then just sort of relaxing with friends and family, sharing some stories, etc.
Well, it was certainly a new year. Obviously, we've got a new champion in our male. Yes. We've got an existing champion in our female category. In fact, Simone will be the only carryover for this year, won't she?
Well, yeah, I don't know down the categories and things like that, but yeah, absolutely. Oh, well, yeah, of those individuals.
Actually, you're right. We have got a multi-time old man.
Oh, moderately
champion,
old man. Thank you very
joining
much.
Us here right now, Richard. Eh?
That's right. That's right. Back to back to back. Something like that.
I was just going to say, is it like a three-peat or we had a four-peat? Yeah,
it's probably almost four, actually. No. Well, we got put off due to COVID 1 year. So I'm claiming five because I've trained for five, but we only managed to do four. So, I mean, yeah, I would have probably won the whole thing that year, given the chance.
Hey, mate, just quickly then before, because we've got a star-studded lineup going on here. Just trying to fix some sound here, hopefully. Maybe that might be better. Sorry about that. I think my sound might have just been a bit off. But anyway, we've got a star-studded lineup. But let's just talk about Richard Greer. Because once again, mate, you did toe the line. You did start at Serpentine Beach on Friday morning. You'd done a lot of preparation for yourself, but for many of our other competitors, putting the support together and all those sort of things. You get to put that aside for 5 minutes and turn the race on. And how'd it go, mate?
Yeah, great. No, it's so good to be able to do that. And I think that's a testament to, first of all, our team, for you, for what you do, and then also Sandra and our crew with my brother Leighton and Eddie doing the hard yards in regards to that, the support crew service that we do for internationals to allow me to actually focus a little bit on that. So that makes a massive difference. To Tash and the kids and my family as well, actually, because it is a fair commitment to train for this thing. And it is. It's interesting, isn't it? Like, the Coast to Coast is not an event that you want to turn off half pie. You want to go and give it your best. So it's always, when you do stand on the start line, you want to make sure that you give the best showing of yourself as well. So, yeah, it was great. A good run off the beach. It was all fine. Fantastic first bike ride, really steady and easy. Well, not easy, but solid.
Let's talk about the off the beach. For those of you that are watching live, plenty of you watching live, thinking about it, there'll be a few of you that are listening to this as a podcast afterwards, but I'm just putting up a picture that we've got. We've got this great shot, and you've almost got the whole shot there, mate. You've got your smack bang in the middle of the pack there. Everybody's like a triangle panned out behind you. You're leading the way down that straight. How about that?
I was actually playing the bagpipes at that point as well, William Wallace style. Did you know that? Did you not hear that? It's all about first under the banner. I think what I've done in the last few years is maybe shouldn't share this so much, but it's probably good to go on like the countdown from 10, probably go on about 3 or so from the start, so that does give me old legs a little bit of a chance. And you're like, I'm pleased the photo wasn't taken again another sort of 5 or 10 seconds later, because those yellow shorts probably would have been swamped not long after that.
I'm sure there's plenty of shots as you've gone down there. We've picked the best one as we can. and rightly so too. Rightly so too. Yeah. And look, okay, so let's just quickly, Richard Grant, you got in the first bunch. I was lucky enough to be alongside you there for a wee bit, looking good. I did like to tell a wee story that when we rolled up beside you and I roll out the window with the camera and everything going, and of course, you had Finn there and you had Sam there and everybody else in that lead bunch. And and I'm sure I could hear them all have a little chuckle when I was trying to get some video footage of you. And I yelled out, Richard, I need you to come to the front now.
Well, I should have said to them all, actually, like, actually, when I first did this race in 2001, you guys were half of you probably weren't even born. So it's probably fair that old man sits on the back, isn't it?
I could just see them all having a chuckle at you getting told that it's about time you come to the front, Rich, for the, but, just for the photo. And then I'm sure once the footage was done, you disappeared backwards again.
Straight,
you know,
back to the back, 100%. Yeah, don't want to overdo it at that stage. But pretty cool at that first Aitkins transition to run through, and then Nate, my 16-year-old son, popped up out of the middle of the crowd in the awesome guy full Lycra suit running along. He had a yellow sweatband to give me, and then threw him his helmet, and then my helmet, and then ran down, grabbed my bag, and then Megan, stepping back a little bit, we had a run through of our support crew on the Sunday before, and Megan's a school teacher, comes out with her clipboard and a piece of paper, and the only thing she wrote on that piece of paper with her clipboard was confetti cannon. So as I got my bag, the confetti cannon went off, and boom, we're onto the mountain run. So that was heaps of fun. Good vibes here, that's for sure.
Was definitely the best exit, that's for sure.
And then slowly sort of got worse from that as far as my mountain run goes. It was a tough day on the mountain. Yeah, the young guys did super well, ran really well, and I just didn't have not so much the legs, more the lungs. I've been crook for a few weeks before, so just had done everything I could just to stand on the start line, but that just wasn't to be my day on that particular day. So just battled on and made it across the finish line. So yeah, good to be part of it.
Well, day two dawned, and I remember last year day two dawned, and you did not want to get out of bed last year. Last year we struggled to get you out of the bed. This year you were up and sprightly and ready to go.
Oh no, it's good. And again, I don't think my legs. It was my lungs that held me up, so my legs were actually feeling pretty good. So had a cracking first bike ride, 60 k's. I think it took us not much more than 20 minutes that first bike ride, which was crazy. So that was super fun getting across there and then down to the boat and. The paddle, a few dodgy line choices early on, which is all part of that. There was one particular, Ryan Tate, who had just passed me. He was going particularly well, actually. And he was heading down to the right of the braid. And I was like, oh, it could be left, could be right. How's he going? Oh, no, it looks pretty good. I'll go right. And as soon as I went right, then he got out of his boat and started portaging it. So that wasn't ideal. But I'll take my own responsibility for that one, opposed to blaming Ryan particularly. But after that, paddle went well. And then the final bike ride, you couldn't ask for better, when just a good transition. And then got up the hill. And the beauty of the 2 day is you get to ride with a few others. So Sam King came up behind me, and then another team guy, Luke. And then the three of us rode together into Christchurch, which was just epic to just get that ride done so quickly. After the tailwind in the gorge, tailwind in the boat, and then a big tailwind on the way home. It's incredible the difference of weather conditions across that 2 day earlier on in the day versus what those longest day guys had to contend with later on.
Yeah, I think you definitely got the pick of all the weathers there in the 2 day at the front end of that. Well, congratulations, mate. You did come across and win the Veterans Masters? What is it?
Probably veteran.
It was a good job. No, I was super pleased to see that happen, and certainly keeping those young ones, like you say, might not have even been born when you were first doing this. but keeping them honest, mate, you've certainly still got it, eh?
Oh, that's the whole thing, is it just trying to pretend that we've still got it. So yeah, I think we'll claim that for this moment. But Glenn in his picks prior to, like, in our last podcast, put his top 10 up, didn't he? He's put his rankings up on who was number one versus number 10 in terms of that elite field. How did you go? Did you get the trifecta at the TAB in the men's and women's field?
No.
Negative. You did not? No, negative. No, no.
And I'm not really a betting guy anyway, Richard.
Are you not? Really?
like to just, you know, as part of the media team, I've got to stay impartial and, you know, just.
sure. Yeah, no, that's good. So yeah, in the men's ranked number 2, number 4, number 10, number 1 and number 3 was the top 5, and the women's number 1, number 6, number 2, number 4 and number 3. So interesting how there's a 6 and a 10 amongst that list as well, which shows some pretty awesome performances from Hannah Lund and Ben Phillips to get up to have a crack at that top step of the podium. So pretty awesome racing all round.
It was indeed. Righto, let's crack on with our show, mate. Enough about us. Thanks, Nick. Or about you. Yes. We've got all the hitters. We've got our elite men's longest day world champion, Hamish Elliott, on. We've got our elite women's world champion on, Simone Mayer. Lizzie's going to join us with her stories of her two-day race. I've got an interview with Hamish Blake, who we were lucky enough to host throughout the weekend, and our race director, Glenn Curry, with a bit of luck, is going to round our show off. What a show that is.
That's absolutely. It's Hamish in the background there.
There he is. A big congratulations. Hey, where's the trophy? You going to hold it up? What?
No, it's actually out in the car, actually.
It's in the car.
In the car. It's going everywhere. Hope you locked it. Hope you locked the car.
Yeah, safe boundaries here. Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Car's got more security than the house has, Richard.
Has the reality of what you've done in the weekend sunk in yet, Hamish?
I don't think it has. It's been quite overwhelming the last few days, the messages and support I've received. Yeah, I guess even just reading the newspaper and you're in the same article as Dougal and Braden, then and then the same sentences, it is quite special, and it will take a bit to sink in, I think.
Good job, and yeah, absolutely fantastic. Your fourth attempt at this race. What does winning the Kathmandu Coast to Coast mean to you? What does this sort of actually nailing this and only four turns to get there is actually not too bad. There's a lot of people that have done a lot more and finally got there. What does it mean?
Cheers. It's quite special. I've, like anyone who competes in the race at that front end, sacrifices a lot to perform and compete. So I guess drawing on all the sacrifice and everything I've put behind or put aside to be in the best condition and train towards that top step, it was quite very rewarding. So, it has been quite satisfying to get that top step.
Good job. Talk us through your race unfolded. I was a bit busy on Saturday morning, so I wasn't able to follow you too closely. But from all I can hear is that you basically laid it down. You said, catch me if you can, as far as I can tell. Was that the tactic? Was it just a matter of I'm going to run my race? Tell us how your race unfolded from the beach.
Yep. Beach run to the bikes. They all run, everyone runs fast. I just step in behind and let whoever wants to run fast, and I'll just keep on their feet, and there's no need to panic at that time of the day. Mm-hmm. On the bike, it was a good bunch. I thought everyone rode pretty fairly, rolled through. There's a few times where someone wouldn't come through and the bunch might slow up. I thought Ben Phillips was very honest and kept the bunch riding well and mm-hmm. kept it moving, and he would move forward and pull the bunch forward to keep moving sometimes, or just to keep that punch in the bunch.
So, how many was the front bunch this time around?
Well, there must have been close to 20.
Okay, right. So quite big compared to other years.
It was, yeah. But now, to be fair, I didn't think there were a few lacking behind, or there's probably just the few weren't lacking, they were just probably riding out of their capabilities in that front bunch. That's probably why they were at the back, but elsewise, like, everyone did I thought did a pretty fair turn, really. And yeah. So now the first ride was good, and it was smooth, and it was it wasn't too surgy. But Ben, I could tell Ben just wanted to press a bit harder than everyone else, as what an Ironman cyclist probably would do in a coast to coast bunch ride at the start of the race. So So that went well. Run leg, I went straight to the front, and it was a bit of sort of mindset was get out of sight but stay smooth and efficient. So I'd planned to maybe run a couple minutes slower than usual and just conserve energy on those real pinchy spots where you don't make a lot of time up if you run it or you walk it, but you use a lot less energy walking it than running it. Mm-hmm. So especially on the descent, I chose to probably press a wee bit harder on the up and get up over the duck boards in the descent where you can let yourself recover off that off the incline and over the pass. And then like all those little uphill pinches on the descent, I took quite carefully and just, looked after the legs. And I really was wanting to aim to ride strong in that middle ride. So that was sort of the mindset there. Middle ride, I rode the best I've ever rode. Power was good. Got in good nutrition, a lot of liquid, and got around to the kayak in quite good form. And I just felt like running down to the kayak, my legs and my body just felt strong still. Like previous years, I've started to fold, and my support crew have been like, just take it easy and get yourself back together. But this year, Taylor and I run down there quite quickly, and I just felt strong running, which gave me the incentive that I'm still sort of in good shape getting into the boat, which was quite good confidence. Getting boat-wise, I got beached at the start. I think what you were talking about at the start, I went right as well and run out of water. I didn't have to get out of my boat, so that was quite lucky, and got into flow. Soon after, but I still felt like, that was quite a, knock to the confidence at the start.
It's not what you want at that stage, do you, knowing that you're leading the race and I need as much to go right here as I can, and all of a sudden you've lost your momentum and rhythm a bit.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and you feel like you've worked hard to get that 5 minutes gain and you've just given away potentially 2 or 3 minutes of, well, say 90 seconds of just nothing, like, free time to Alex and the rest. And so, but no, got in good rhythm in the boat. James has obviously been working with James, and the paddling's been moving really well. He'd given me a lot of confidence to back myself on the river, and to previous years I hadn't probably had that confidence in myself. And I think that the whole paddle went reasonably smoothly. The only problem was I hadn't trained with a bib over my PFD, and my tubes would come up out of my drink system, which I did have to stop paddling 3 times and plug them back in because I knew I needed that liquid in that boat. And by all means, I didn't expect everything to go right, but that was just a small drink systems and kayaks, you know what they're like, they're pretty unreliable. But elsewise, no, energy was good. I felt strong through the pedal. Below Woodstock, you could get tired, but I guess just having that belief to pull, hold on, I guess, hold on to the end of the pedal at least, and then see what the split is. And getting out of the boat, same again. I felt good on my legs again and up and on the bike. So last ride, I didn't really get any splits. Taylor's dad was on South Air, but I only got a something 30. So I got, it was something in half a minute, but I didn't hear what the minutes were. So that was quite hard to take when I was is that a deficit or is it, am I gaining? And then it wasn't at all. I got into Christchurch and he was there again, and he's like, you got to keep moving, because Alex is coming fast. So Just snuck in, I guess. Yeah.
Good job. Was there a particular stage of the race that you're like, yep, I believe I can win this? Or was that from the mountain run? Like, where were you sort of thinking, actually, I think I've got this?
Yeah, I guess like going into the race and wanting to compete, I think you've got to have that belief right from the start. And that includes riding smart in the bunch and still being fair to your competitors, yep, doing your turn. But I visualized a lot of getting into that kayak and just drawing on belief, because it's hard to believe in yourself when you've still got 4, 5, 6 hours of racing to go and you're pretty wrecked already getting into the boat. And so I already had visualized that moment and knew that that belief just had to start then and just go through the paddle and just keep believing that you can like hang on to that lead. And the further I got down, probably that more that grew. When I was like, there was no one there, like halfway I got caught last year, and then I got to halfway this year, I was just like the odd glance behind and I couldn't see any boat, and I was and then by the time I got to Woodstock, I was like, well, there's still not on me, so potentially there's not a lot of gain going on if Alex was only 5 minutes and I can't see him. So it was probably at that pedal, and I definitely didn't believe I could, I had to believe that I could win it there, but I definitely didn't think I'd won it at all. Like, it's silly to do that. But I guess that start of the kayak was probably a key point of, and that come with the pre-race preparation.
Nice. That's good advice for others as well. It's about that belief, isn't it? Because you can't be running scared, because otherwise that changes like the way you move too. You've got to have that belief, and that belief, by the sounds of it, is kind of growing the deeper you went into the race this year, because you know what it feels like to race from the front, but I'm still racing from the front and I've still got this. And knowing that Alex is coming towards the back end and knowing that he's a strong cyclist, what was your mentality there? What was your thinking in that stage?
I probably was probably almost too relaxed. I getting out of the boat. I drew on. I'm a shocker for looking at previous results. And so Alex and I had a similar time last year on that last ride. And okay. So I was like, I've got 8 minutes in a tailwind. Surely he can't outride me. And I did not at all write it off at all. But I was like, I'm going to take that as confidence and get on that bike and still ride. Like, I'd still ride as hard as I could, and my power was dropping near the end, but I was still maintaining my effort, and it was still definitely wasn't comfortable, but it was sustainable. You got on that bike and start get into the rhythm, and I knew Alex would chase hard. Like, he's a competitor for sure.
He certainly is a competitor. That's right. He left it all out there as well. Was there a special moment in the race for you that stood out? A particular moment that whether it's support from others or whether like actually I'm enjoying this challenge? Like, is there a special thing that like, hey, that was pretty awesome?
Yeah, I like it how you mentioned like enjoying it. Like, I think even running through the run, like I always enjoy the run, but it's important to, I think, like if you're enjoying something, you do it well. So I pre-race again, like I just had to enjoy the experience, the time, the ups and the downs. And I truly believe in, if you're genuinely enjoying something, you generally do it well. And yeah, that was through the run, like mindset as well. Just enjoying the moment and coming through the TAs, especially running down to the kayak was quite enjoyable. Like, body was strong. Taylor was support crew, and he was giving me good advice. He was letting me know what was going on. And there's a lot of other people carrying boats down and supporting and giving me a kind gesture or something running down and comments, which was quite nice. And I guess at the finish with my old man also going for me was quite cool. He was pretty stoked, and my auntie and uncle Craig and Helen, they were quite special as well.
So good, so good. That's pretty exciting when people are cheering for you and know who you are and you're leading the longest day. That's pretty awesome. You've credited your coach, James Munro, for giving you that little bit extra. What was your approach heading into the race and how did it differ from previous years? You've talked about that mental, a bit of that visualization about what it's going to feel like and what I want to feel like. What was different from previous years for you?
I was probably a bit more structured this year with the training. I went to James at the end of August and told him to train me like as if I was a kayaker and nothing else. So James just did my paddle program. So he was just solely doing my kayak program and he was training me as if basically, like, obviously he knew I was running and biking, but heavy load, like basically just a 6 month pedal block into the race, and I just fitted my running and biking in around it. We did have easier weeks or easier sort of starts to the weeks, and then it would build in the weekend again, and then would go big for another 3 weeks. So that's sort of what training looked like. Race preparation. Probably draw on my first coach, Mark, who really probably taught me how to race by feel, and I think that really come into place, especially in a race like this where there's so many variables. You're not running on pace or, okay, you might use heart rate. I don't, and my whole race was basically by feel, really. The last ride I was riding with power on the bike, and, yeah, that's sort of, yeah, how preparation went, and it went well. Like, there was no sickness or injury or – yeah, I was taxed a lot of the time, but I didn't feel like we were overdoing it. And I really enjoyed working with James. He's very professional and kept me so very honest in training, but also, yeah, I guess we sort of fed off each other as two athletes would. Yeah.
I know you train to be the best you can, but this race feels a lot more, you know, if you look at the wide range of people that compete in this range, and I look at your runtime of 2:59, and then I look at Greer's one of 3:50, and, you know, Richard's no slug, but he's an hour slower than you are. How does it now? It's like with the depth of competitors in this field now, because let's be honest, like the top 10 plus, there's a real depth of competitors in there. The attitude now, I guess, is, it's not like, do you think about the pace that you're running when you're running that? Do you look and go, oh, is this too much? Is not, or is it just blanket out? I've just got to go until I blow. If I hold, I hold. If I don't, I don't. Is that like today's attitude to winning the coast to coast?
I think it depends on the athlete. I know Dougal would race a lot on data, and he'd probably consider watching his heart rate. He's talked about this. I think Sam Manson's another sort of more data-focused athlete. Myself, I always admired Braden's racing, and I always inspired that my race would look a bit like his, where it would just rip the run. I'm probably a bit more conservative than him. Get in the boat, and I've trained with Braden, and the advice is pretty straightforward. Like, in the boat, don't worry about technique, just keep ripping that pedal. And the other bit of advice he told me was, if you can eat solid food after the run, you're not racing hard enough. So you can choose and take what you take. But, yeah, I guess my race, I preferably race by feel, and I'm grateful that you somewhat know how to. You do get caught out now and again when you don't check in with yourself and you do blow. But especially in the pedal, I trained all season with a cadence sensor, and I knew what my effort and cadence should be. But for some reason, my cadence sensor didn't connect to my watch when I got there. And so the pedal was all by feel. There was no heart rate or data in the boat either. So.
Well, it's funny you say that. It's that you quote Braden Curry. I don't know. It might have been 9 o'clock at night. It might have been 10 o'clock at night. I don't know. Standing on the finish line with Glenn, and he said that your effort on Saturday was very Braden Curry-esque. Like, it was very same sort of thing, you know, just rip it on the run and let's go, folks. You want to catch me, it's in your court.
Yeah, for sure. Now he's Braden's been good to me and inspired a lot of athletes, I'm sure, but also yeah, with gear and with training, inviting me training, and we had planned to train together a bit in January, but I think we're both too stubborn to change our programs, so we never actually ended up catching up. But admire his racing talent and
good skills. Good. Well, sure. What about next year, Hamish? This year's done and dusted. You've got a lovely trophy. You've got your name in the paper. You've got all of those things. What happens next year?
I've been asked that a lot the last couple of days. I think there will be a return.
Nice.
I think the event draws athletes back. I think defending it would bring a new motivation, and I think more motivation. Not that I'm not motivated, mm-hmm. but
what you're saying though?
I think there will plan to be another coast build next summer.
Beautiful. Okay,
how good. So good. Say thanks so much for joining us, Hamish. Make sure you spend some time basking in your glory because you've had an absolute blinder of a day and really love the way you race and congratulations.
Thanks, Richard, and thanks, Angus.
No worries, Hamish, mate. Thank you so much. Congratulations once again. Oh, Rich, how about that? Our 42nd running Kathmandu Coast to Coast male champion, 10 hours, 48 minutes. It's a sprint race, mate. It's no endurance race.
It's a sprint. And that's how they approach it too. It's approached like a sprint race. It's not an endurance race at all. We're working hard the whole time. I think that's probably part of the reason I don't race to heart rate. And part of the reason I don't is that it scares you. Look at the watch and go, oh God, I can't keep that up. So then you maybe button off a little bit. So yeah, full credit to those guys. They're a full another level. It's so impressive. The guys and girls at the front of that longest day field, absolute athletes.
Yeah. I mean, you know, longest day is exactly that. I got to take my hat off. Like we were there right to the end. We had a couple of our CP athletes who completed their longest day and were just unbelievably proud of the effort that they put in. They were emotionally proud about what the effort they put in themselves. But it's a long day, you know, 16 plus hours for some of those athletes. And that's a long time to be out there.
It is 100%. They're quite different, aren't they? Quite different ways you approach those two races. So, well done for everyone that managed to make it across that finish line, whichever event that you're lining up for.
Absolutely. Okay, let's keep rolling because we have another winner. We're going to Lizzie next, are we? Two days.
Let's have a chat to Lizzie, shall we? You're cool.
She's a winner anyway, isn't she? Like Lizzie's a winner anyway.
I was going to say, am I not a winner?
No, Lizzie, no, you're a winner.
Look at all those medals behind you, Lizzie. You're definitely a winner. That's fantastic.
That's what my bike trainer is. That's my motivation to keep me on the bike.
Hey, well done. Hey, so stoked. I had a good catch up with you on Thursday at registration. You were one registration actually. You were sort of one of the first ones there. To pick up your race back, which is pretty awesome. But it's been a big job to actually get to the start line for you, hasn't it? And when we talk about the fact that one of the things that you're doing around racing was fundraising for the Westpac helicopter, because that's something that's dear to your heart for a good reason. Tell us about your build up.
Have you used it a couple of times, Lizzie?
Just twice for now.
Twice is still a lot.
Just twice.
Two more than most of us. Tell us about your build up and what it was about and how long it took and what it took to actually stand on the start line, what it meant to you.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I first started looking at Coast 2 years ago. Like, I'd been to watch the finish line and was like, oh yeah, I could give this a go. And yeah, I started learning to kayak pretty early because I've done a bit of triathlon, so I knew I could bike and I could run. And I think 3 months into kayak training, I then was on a hiking multi-day trip and just tripped and had major trauma to my ankle and that was helicoptered out. So unfortunately that took a long time to recover from, because it took a long time for them to figure out what was actually going on. And there's a lot of rehab and surgery and still had ongoing pain, still have ongoing pain, gonna have another surgery soon. So, yeah, it's just been hard for me to kind of consistently train. And luckily, I'm very determined and I knew that I would do the race in some capacity.
Good job. Good job. Awesome, Lizzie. What was your favorite part of the race and why?
Oh, the last bike ride.
Yeah.
That was a bit of me. That was definitely a bit of me. That was, yeah, that fast, flat, head down, bum up, like, yeah, go. You know, I did the first, I think the first 20K, I timed it really well. Yeah, just got timed really badly because of the Gorge Bridge. They were just about to let some cars over, but they stopped and let me go. But by that time, like, a few people had already gone, so I'd missed that bunch. So I was on my own for, I think, the first 20K, but I was like, no, this is fine. Like, this is what I'm used to, like, train on the bike on my own. So just absolutely hammered it. And yeah, I was definitely at the fastest first 20K and then caught up with some people and yeah, made them work with me.
Yeah, God, you will work with me because I've caught you up.
Yeah.
But before you got on the bike, there was it was pretty windy. As I was pedaling down there, I was like, oh, heck, if it's this windy for me, what's it going to be like behind me? There was a bit of carnage, people sort of struggling in the wind. How did you find it? What was your experience?
I actually didn't find it that bad because, I mean, I was in the nickname Bertha, the Barracuda.
Yeah.
So it was a beachcomber. So it was quite stable. And the last time I'd actually been through the gorge, there was a nor'wester, not quite as strong, but still enough. So I kind of already, you know, I was pretty happy with what to do and make decisions extra early and kind of, yeah, really think about, you know, where the wind's going to put my boat. So where do I need to be in advance? So for me, it wasn't too bad. But I know for some people it was, yeah, I mean, it was carnage. There was boats everywhere. Left side of the river, right side of the river, people on rocks. Like, yeah, it was, yeah, pretty rough for some people.
And you managed to navigate your way through that? Because often, like, the river was relatively, like, wasn't too crazy. The wind was obviously added another level, but another level on top of that is other people falling out and kind of navigating your way through the icebergs of upside down boats. How did that go for you?
Oh, look, I have a nickname by my friends as a bit of a bulldozer because I'll just barge for anything. Like, I don't really care if things are on my way. I'm like, I've got my line. I know what I'm doing. So, yeah, I was fine.
Yeah, the Barracuda's coming through. Look out.
Yeah, I was like, no, I'm coming through. Like, if you're in my way, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. As you go. Nice work. So, obviously, a really good second day. How did your first day go? How was that for you?
Oh. Horrible. It was two very different days. I loved the second day, but the first day was pretty rough. I on the first bike, I couldn't change into my big chain ring. So I was just stuck in my small one and I just can't churn out the same amount of power. And yeah, it was a bit hard mentally because I'm like, oh, the bike's the strongest. Like, if I haven't got my big chain ring, like, how am I going to keep up with everyone and do kind of what I want to do? So after about 10K, it kind of sorted itself out. And then I kind of, yeah, put the power in to try and make up some time, which probably wasn't the best idea because I then caught up with one of my friends I know and I just couldn't hang on. I just was wrecked by that point. Like, I was just like, now my legs haven't got it in them. So just kind of, yeah, struggled through and the bunches weren't that great. It was pretty tricky to get people to, yeah, join a bunch and, yeah, even I'm pretty bossy and even then they still, yeah, weren't having any of it. They're just doing their own thing. So, yeah, it was pretty much just, yeah, into the headwind, struggle street, and then, yeah, go into the run, which was always going to be my weakest thing anyway. So, and it was awful.
Okay. Did you have a chance to chat to a few other competitors and look around a little bit and try and enjoy it, or was it a fair bit of struggle street?
Oh, no. I mean, there was a few people that I saw, but I was just in pain. Like, I've had back problems leading up to the race just because I've not really had the run training because of my ankle. And so, yeah, I've literally just crammed as much running as I can in the last 2 months, which is not advisable.
Yeah.
I do know that, but I did it anyway. And, my back muscles are just, yeah, wrecked. So they kicked in about halfway through the first bike, so I was literally just popping pills and rolling deep heat on my back and getting to the top.
No drug testing at the end?
No.
Okay, that's right. Lucky Glenn's not listening.
No strong stuff.
Yeah, exactly. But you did have the best support crew in the world in Grant and Leah.
I did, didn't you?
So they would have looked after you.
They were excellent. Yeah, very organised. And yeah, it was just speedy transition. So that was good.
Yeah, good. What advice would you give to someone else looking to line up for their first Kathmandu Coast to Coast with a ballot open? I think closes next Wednesday as we stand at the moment.
Is your name in the ballot?
Yes. I put it in before the race.
Okay, good. Yeah, you wanted to pull it out.
Oh, I knew I'd want to do it again. Yeah. Start kayaking now. Definitely do the kayaking. It's, especially if you've never done it before, it's definitely, yeah, it was definitely real hard for me. So especially if you're a bit of a nervous paddler, it's just tough. So yeah, learning new skills as an adult is hard work. So get that done. Do as many things as you can with the kayak. I joined like the Down River Club and did some of the top sport races, and yeah, find a good group of people to do some stuff with down the river. So yeah.
Wicked. What makes the Kathmandu Coast to Coast so special in your, from your perspective, Lizzie?
Probably, the people that you meet, like, compared to, like, the triathlon stuff, like, it's triathlon such an individual sport, and, yeah, you can go out and do stuff, but for the race, it's very individual. Like, you can't bunch ride or, anything like that. And the swim, obviously, you don't talk to people, so it's just a sense of community as well, and it's just, really good to meet like-minded people, and, everyone kind of supports each other out on course, which is really cool.
Wicked. Well done, Lizzie. You're not wearing your medal still. You've got it on your wall, have you?
No, it's on the wall.
Okay. You've taken it off. Hey, well done. No, absolutely stoked for you. It's so cool to be able to share the start line and see you whiz across that finish line, because you were looking absolutely fantastic on that Saturday. So well done, and look forward to seeing you again next year, Lizzie. How good?
Yeah, definitely. Thanks, guys.
Good job. Thanks, well done. Take care.
Lizzie was another one that I was able to be at the finish line for when she came across at New Brighton Beach. And like we've talked about before, the privilege of being able to be there to see these people first come across, and that raw emotion of that they're just shaking hands with Juddy or Gurney and got their medal, and that signaling of I've completed this journey. She was so proud. She was so happy. I may have had to help her open her can of beer there just to so she could get a cold one. What I love is that she had her name in the ballot. She hadn't actually done Coast to Coast yet, but she knew it was going to be so good, and she knew she was going to want to do it again before she's even done the Kathmandu Coast to Coast that she's entered. So hopefully everybody out there has already got their names in the ballot already to be a part of such a wonderful event.
Yeah, good. And I'm sure Glenn sort of got a mark next to Lizzie since she's been on the podcast. It's a big job being on the podcast, isn't it? So surely there's a preferential entry there. I'm not sure. What do you reckon?
Well, look, I tell you, somebody else who's entered the Coast to Coast many a time, and holy Batman, five-time winner, Simone Mayer, come to the party. Hey, how are you?
Kia ora, I'm pretty good. How are you guys?
Yeah, five-time champion, Simone. Five times. How about that?
No, I got to hear. But the fifth time hasn't been engraved yet.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Much better than Hamish. It's still out sitting in the car. So you've done very well there.
No, I'm walking around with it. Wherever I go, I got it with me.
Okay. I didn't think we were going to mention that now that Glenn's actually listening. I wasn't going to mention that Hamish has got it.
Sorry. Is it still just as special, Simone, as it was when you won your first one?
Oh, yeah, I think it's even more special than the first one was pretty special. They all were pretty special. You know, you think, how does it get any more special? But this one probably topped all of them, because it's been the fifth time, and I guess it's equal now with Kathy Lynch, which not many women have done it. So it's, it's pretty surreal, you know. It's still kind of something I'm digesting, and... Yeah, I'm proud of it, to be honest. Like, yeah, there are not many things I'm proud of, but that's something I really feel, you know, like I can feel it. And it's an amazing thing when you can feel it.
That's so good.
I don't know how long it will last, but I'm riding the wave.
Live it up, absolutely. Ride the wave. I love it. Five titles and the great Kathy Lynch. That's an incredible record. do you have a good idea of how your race is going to pan out? Like, is it like, I don't know, I guess it's different for every year when different athletes turn up that you're competing against, but do your tactics remain the same, or is it a little bit of a, let's see what happens?
Well, this year, going into this year's race, I guess I knew before the race, I was in a pretty good shape because of my training data. And so therefore I thought I should have a pretty good outcome, you know, but you just never know. So the thing is that no matter what your training says, I mean, the same has been with, you know, all these youngsters posting all these fast running times over the goat pass and bike times and pedaling times. But at the end, can you put this together on race day? So that's, you know, a whole different story. And then there's obviously all these things, uncontrollable things that you can't, you know, you can only control so much. But for example, the wind, the gusts, we couldn't control. And then, for example, I don't know, your rudder falls apart, or, you know, all these things. So I had a good idea of where I could be. But again, everybody has been becoming better in training. So, yeah, but on the piece of paper, I knew it's probably sort of my, you know, like, yeah, I could be a good contender, you know, like have a good shot at winning it five times. Yeah,
good on you. Good on you. That's fantastic. So in terms of like your race, you were not leading off the end of the mountain run. Often, sometimes you have, because you're a strong runner. And it wasn't until the paddle that you actually hit the front of the race. Were you just still doing your own thing at that stage? Or was that actually that you knew that was where you're going to put the hammer down and look to get to the front of the race for you?
Yeah, I mean, I had a pretty good run this year. I mean, I trained for it, I guess, but I trained beforehand too, but last year I had hamstring injury and blah, blah, blah. This year I knew I should be in a good shape, but you just never know, as I said, like, there are five girls, they're all incredible runners, you know what I mean? When I was with going up to Goat's Pass, and I wasn't far away from Debbie, she was sort of an eyesight going over Goat's Pass, I was pretty relaxed, and I probably there was a point where I thought, I'm in a really good position, and I, you know, this is where I could lose the race, like, just don't F it up. So I did let her go away, because I knew, I was pretty sure that even if she has 10 or 15 minutes, we could have a really good race, and that would make it exciting too, you know what I mean? Like, but I was pretty good, pretty sure that I could catch up, if that makes sense, you know, and then have a good battle.
Yeah, good. Oh,
I mean,
well,
you
done
never
for
know 100%, but I had a good gut feeling. Yeah.
Good on you. Well done for thinking of the spectators and it could be a good battle if we let her go a little bit. That's gutsier than what I would have done, that's for sure. But that's awesome. You ended up having a good lead coming off the river. Deb had a bit of trouble, I think, with her rudder in the boat, and sort of that she struggled as a result of that, unfortunately. So, but what was going through your head on that final bike lead heading for the finish line after having that reasonable lead coming out of the boat?
Yeah, so here's the thing. When I came out of the boat, what I got told from my support crew, they were like, shit, where have you been? We lost you the whole entire paddle. So that was a surprise for me, where I'm like, oh, I've just been paddling down the gorge. Like, what do you mean? What should I have done? I'm different, you know, like gone for a picnic or, you know. So they were like, yeah, we had no idea where you were. And I think my partner almost had a heart attack, poor guy, because he thought, oh, shit, there's something, like, you know, a repetition from 2020 when I DNF'd and pulled out. So he was poor bugger. Anyway, so they had no idea what's the time difference, because they didn't know where I was. And so they couldn't give me any splits. And so I guess I didn't really think much apart from just get on the bike and ride as quick as I can to the finish line, and hopefully I break their tape first. And if you look at the videos, which some people posted, I didn't look that great coming out of the boat. I was like really sore and hobbling. And I probably gave a lot of other people, you know, support with motivation for the girls. It's like, oh, she's, you know, she's hurting. She's going to probably fall apart. But I guess the good thing is with me, no matter how bad I look, like hobbling and being in so much pain, I know as soon as you put me on that bike, I,
I still can ride quite reasonable. So what I thought, to come back to your questions, what I thought on that last bike is, I know I didn't know where they were, but what happened sort of maybe 15 k's into the ride, this car passed me and pulled over, and these guys with an orange bib put out, it looked like marshals from the race, and they keep yelling at me, "You've got a 17 minute lead." So then I had a good understanding of, you know, I had a good lead, not a, you know, well, a pretty good lead. So therefore, first I thought, oh, maybe we can make this even a bigger lead, you know, like put the hammer down, because I love cycling and we had this amazing tape. And, but man, I definitely, at some point when we had hit the crosswinds, I definitely let go of this idea of putting more time into them. I was like, I just need to make it to that finish line as quick as I can. And even turning into the last road down parade, I was like, if I have a flatty now, okay, I could probably hobble to the finish line and still just make it. Or I could ride on the rims. Wouldn't be good for the rims, but I probably could just get away. I think what I always do, I don't take it for granted. I never celebrate too early till, like, literally, you know, like, run up that sandy hill and grab that tape first. And yeah, but I probably celebrated a bit when I turned into the last corner where I'm like, oh, I was quite emotional. It was pretty emotional. It's like, oh, this is unreal. I don't know how I did. I mean, I did it. I know I did it, but, you know, it was pretty emotional. Yeah, it was pretty amazing. Yeah.
Good on you. Good on you. And great to be able to acknowledge it as well and actually soak up that emotion and let yourself actually feel that emotion when you're coming up to the finish line. And because that's what you do it for, isn't it? Like, you do all this training and to be able to achieve your goals and actually to be able to break that tape first is pretty amazing, and not many people get a chance to do it, and you've done it 5 times.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, even for me, it looked maybe like a perfect race, and it looked like for people, oh, you know, she was second on the run, what a great position she's in, and she did the pedal and just blew them all apart, which I had no idea. But I had also things like Hamish that didn't go, not everything went smooth as it should have been, so it wasn't the clear, beautiful, amazing win. And even I was just so, I got so much chafing, and even on my bike I was like, oh my god, I don't want to do this ever again, but I keep saying this the last 5 years and here I am again. But it's so rewarding when you go through that pain and you come out on the other side. Not that it needs to be that way, but, you know, like, it's probably even more rewarding when you have a good outcome, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, it's probably not the question we want to ask at the moment, because you need to continue to just soak it up and soak up the win. But we have to, because because everyone wants to hear is what's the future hold for you, and will you be back for a potential 6th title?
Well, it's actually funny, because first, well, I made the statement that this is my last one, kind of. And kid you not, the day after, I was like, man, imagine I do it 6 times. So I don't know yet, but I thought, while I'm on a podcast, it's like, well, if I get a bike sponsor, that's one thing that's missing in my life. I might be back in some gear sponsor. I still believe I could probably shave off a few minutes, especially on that last bike ride with the perfect gear, you know, like the right bike. But yeah, as you know, bikes are not the cheapest, and it's really hard to get a sponsor these days. Anyway, I'm just putting it out there. So you might see me back at that. But who knows? I don't know. It's so early these days. You know, I'm super excited right now. I'm on this high, and it's like, it's very addictive. Like, that's another good and bad thing. Like, it's just it has such a good buzz and such a good hype, where I thought, even if I don't do the 1 day, I probably love to be involved in the 2 day tandem, or mentoring a school, you know, a school team through, you know, like, I just love the whole circus. It's such a cool community. Camaraderie and everything.
We do look forward to seeing what transpires in, because it is a pretty rare, this is a very rare time we're in. You're sitting equaling Kathy Lynch. You could take and hold the record for the most female wins ever, and it will be a long time before that's challenged or broken, and possibly may never will be. Like, such a rare opportunity presents you right now.
I know, it's
what have you done?
I'm just trying to build for next against you already, you know? Like,
yeah, it's the podcast rating.
You're building the storyline already, Richard, for next year.
Just need a bike sponsor, you know?
Well, the podcast is a pretty solid reach, so I'm sure we'll be all over it after this.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah, good
stuff. Thanks, guys.
Hey, well done, Simone. Absolutely stoked to see you have an awesome day out and finish so strongly, and make sure you do celebrate this one because it's pretty awesome and pretty special. So, yeah, congratulations to you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on the podcast. Appreciate it.
Well done. Thanks, Simone. Congratulations.
Thank you,
Simone. Our 42nd running of the Kathmandu Coast to Coast, five-time champion Simone Mayer. Stay with us, everybody, because we've got – I just want to go through a couple of other things shortly, but we've still got your interview that you did with Hamish Blake, of course, Lego Masters Australia host and many other funny things that man's done. That was a hell of a weekend, I can tell you, being involved with him. Glenn Curry, our race director, is going to join us at the end of the program and just share his thoughts across the weekend. But just a couple of quick things. One, I want to just talk about the kayak. There's a couple of cool things that I love how after the race all these photos start coming out, all the stories start coming out along the way at the kayak get out at the gorge. We all know how everybody feels after they've been in the boat for 5 or so hours, and we did see this photo, and hopefully you're watching this and not listening to the podcast, but Andrew Davidson, this has to be the capture. This has to be almost the capture of the Coast to Coast. Look at that face. That's a man who is ready to get out of that boat.
Completely had enough. He is not happy at all. That's very good. That's a great photo. And speaking of kayaking, another really good story I heard from Tasman, who I coach. His support crew had a chat to me at the finish line, and they said, "Did you hear about what happened when Tasman went to get into his boat? We didn't go so well." And he basically what happened is they put their boat, scrutinized it, put it down by the beach, and were waiting for Tasman. Tasman never arrived. So they're like, "Oh no, we're going to have to go and pick up his boat, and he's obviously crashed or something's happened. So we'll go and grab his boat, and then we'll head up the road and head back towards Klondike to catch him." So they went back to pick up his boat, and his boat wasn't there. Tasman's shoes and his helmet were sitting there, and no boat. So Tasman had run in. There's no support crew. "Oh well, I better get myself changed, get into my boat, carry my boat down to the river, and get in and paddle away." So how good is that? And it's a happy ending. Tasman made it to the finish line. His support crew were at the end with his bike, right? Bike to be able to get to Christchurch and carried on.
the stress of the support crews, eh? Like, that's the unknowns. I witnessed, the long version is that after we'd put you in the water at Mount White, and I'm walking around doing a few and just mucking around there on the beach, and Nathan Favey walks past me, and he's just casually walking through all the boats as he's walking along there. And I noticed he had a bib on, and it had Katrina written on it and a PFC. And I just thought, "Oh, okay, he must be support crewing for whoever Katrina is," and he's just carrying all the gear around. And so life went on, and a few other people got in the water and so on. Transport myself around to the gorge, waiting for you to arrive again. We get our first paddler. I think we may get our second paddler in, and then all of a sudden this boat comes from buddy, turns right, and is still on full noise, thundering towards the beach. And it's buddy Nathan Favey. So I don't know what paddle time that guy did, but he must have had a hell of a paddle time. When I last saw him, he was still walking around the beach. He wasn't even on the water. But I've never seen a guy drive a boat so far up that beach at the gorge. In fact, I think he had to get himself out of the boat because he'd blown past all the people that are there to help him.
He did go past me, and he said at the beach at New Brighton, "I thought you'd get on my wash." And I jokingly said, "Yeah, I was on there for about 2 seconds, but actually in hindsight, I probably wasn't even on there for 2 seconds. It's probably only half a second before he carried on." Speaking of, let's just throw this out there. This was a little story from race day that was shown at the prize giving. If I push this and see if this one was to work, about Sam Pearce.
"If I look down, I see one shoe. Yeah, unfortunately lost it in the mud just before Dudley's Knobs, so sort of the last 12Ks and sort of wrapped the fleece around the foot and tried to carry on, but yeah.
So tell me, mate, where'd you get the insulation tape or the old electrical tape from?
I found the strapping tape in my pack, and then luckily one of the tie mats had a bit of electrical tape and sort of tried to mock it up the best I could for the rest of it.
That's incredible, isn't it?
I just listening to that is actually he stole some electrical tape from the timing mat.
Yes. Yes. Didn't he? He had a bit of his own duct tape, did he not to he start with? And then yes. The timing mat had some electrical tape and that's determination to get yourself all the way to the end, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. Shall we have a chat to Hamish Blake? Do you reckon is it time for that?
Yeah, look, let's just put a bit of a ring around that. Of course, Hamish and his Hamish Blake, of course, from Australia. A lot of people know that he's a television star, media star, radio, but just generally funny guy. I don't think I've ever in my life heard so many one-liners that just keep rolling out of a guy's mouth all weekend long. But Vaughn Vance, his American mate that came over, the two of them were just an absolute pleasure. They were genuinely, absolutely. They were starstruck with the event. That's probably the way to put it. They were starstruck with how good this Kathmandu Coast to Coast was. They thoroughly enjoyed every moment. They pushed themselves to the limit. They were seen. I should have watched this video first in case I give all this away, but they were seen rubbing each other's thighs.
That's not part of the video.
Okay. Well, I do know that Vaughan must have got cramped somewhere in the on the way up Goat Pass. And so they laid down in the bush, and Hamish is over the top, thoroughly rubbing down when somebody else just happens to come walking past to see these two grown men in the bush rubbing each other down. So they had an absolute hoot, and certainly challenged themselves all the way through this race.
That's right. That's right. So I had a chat to Hamish this afternoon. There was a little bit of an internet glitch about 2 minutes in, so I've just cut that off the front of it. So we're going to go straight into the interview, and we'll just throw it at you. I'm sure you'll enjoy this for the next few minutes or so. And we'll push some buttons and see if this works.
Okay, so rewinding a slight bit, I have massive cankles. And I think it's from just kind of like pounding away on the ankles a bit over the run, and then the pedals in the kayak, and then flying immediately afterwards, like the fluid in your body. I thought it was that. Then I went to the doctor actually this morning because I kind of also tore the skin off one of my ankles a lot with the strapping tape. Like it was just kind of rubbing the run.
Yep.
And I think it has got infected because I thought it was just cankles, and then the doctor this morning described it as a whopper of a staph infection. So
Okay.
I got a puffy hoof. But apart from that, I mean, for all things considered, what could, again, like jumping into this with zero experience of this race, like, you know, I would say I came out in the good end, the lucky end of what could potentially happen to your body when you just have no, you're not weathered for that kind of thing.
That's right. That's right. Well, well done for admitting that you've got cankles as a middle-aged man. I think you've done very well with it.
I only do it because I'm like hoping that they'll fade away.
Yeah, good. So for you, like, is this something that you've been looking to do for a while? What's your background like, and what was it like coming in as an international to do this event?
Yeah. Well, I mean, my buddy Vaughan and I, we picked it because it had a large degree of uncertainty to it. Like I would say the only thing I really have any experiences in is cycling and kind of like longer events and longer days on the bike. I love riding, but I've always kind of avoided running for the last 10 years of my life because of my knees and now my ankles are being an issue.
Okay, so knees are fine?
Knees are not too bad. Maybe all the fluid just slipped knees down at the ankles. It had that kind of like tantalizing mix of a really daunting challenge, but something that maybe like with the right application of, you know, strategy and support, like it was an interesting problem to solve while still at the same time being quite scary. So that was our motivation, really. I mean, and I love New Zealand. We've been, you know, we holiday to New Zealand a lot, and I've got Kiwi mates that have done Coast. And so I've known about it for a long time, but it had kind of always stuck in my mind as like that that way too hard thing to attempt. But then I guess as time wears on, you sort of, you hit an age, like I'm 42, and that's probably not an uncommon age for a lot of competitors kind of in the field.
Right. Yep.
You kind of hit an age where you go, well, I'm not getting any younger, and like I either have a crack at this thing or I don't. And from there, we kind of committed. And I think that is the beautiful thing about the event. Like there's absolutely nothing special about, you know, me. We were just like grinding away out there. And what I loved about the event is you're either at the pointy end, like there are obviously there are people there to race the event, and that's awesome to watch.
Mm.
And then there is a huge band of people in the middle of all ages and stages and abilities, where what I loved about it was sort of the only difference between people that are doing this event and are not doing this event is people that just decide to do it. They're like just people that are like, I'm here because I decided. And with that, that begins their journey, and that's what makes it so cool at the finish line. You're surrounded by people who kind of feel like they've just climbed Everest, because they're kind of, even though they've trained for it for months, there's still that kind of like, so for a lot of us, there's that shock and awe of like, I made it.
I have got myself organized, and I've had this massive adventure, and it's that shared experience at the finish line as well, isn't it, of what's gone on beforehand. So tell us sorry, Karen.
No, exactly. And that's the beautiful part on the course too, is that that's the energy that kind of like pulls people along on the course. As you leapfrog people, then they leapfrog you, and you run back into the same kind of people in the adventure. Again, you know, this is in the middle of the pack, and you just, you know, friendships form, and you're kind of watching other people's adventures unfold alongside yours. And that's the fun of the days.
Nice. So we're talking a lot about fun and all the good stuff. You talked a little bit about cankles there before, but were there any low moments? You did it with your mate Vaughn. Were there any moments that you were sort of like, I've had enough of him, or we're battling here? I did notice a run up the finishing chute, which we'll get to shortly, but you actually pushed him backwards just before the finish line. I noticed that. I was like, I see.
A last minute ditch to win by a second. No, I mean, that was just me mucking around.
Just better.
Well, I mean, the beauty of the tandem, like thankfully, like you hope when you enter the tandem, you know, like I suppose rewinding a bit again for just like the civilians like myself entering, not the athletes, you're entering this because you know something's going to go sideways. Like you're deliberately throwing yourself into a situation that's full of unpredictable things like your body, your organization, the terrain, the weather, the natural environment, like what's going to happen to your mind. And that's the fun of the event. You're throwing it in there. And I suppose the appeal of doing it as a tandem is you're gambling on the fact that it's going to be better to have a mate next to you. It's going to be a net positive rather than a you don't really know. It could just end up in like big fights and meltdowns. But luckily, for Vaughan and I, we came out of it, you know, getting exactly what we wanted out of the experience. We had some real low lows. Like we swam three times on the paddle, and not just three times, but just three times in the space of an hour, I think, too. So our paddle leg ended up being about 6 hours, but for 1 hour, I think the three times we were in were all really close to each other.
Okay, so the start and the end were amazing, but then the middle, and then the middle was like just awful.
Somewhere in the middle of the gorge, like I don't even know enough about it to give you any landmark, except if you're out there, you'll see a giant yellow scar along one of the cliffs as our boat is like bashed into the wall. But so that can be known as Hamish and Vaughan's Corner. That was our first fallout.
Okay, I'll look out for it.
Yeah, I mean, that had that real feel. And that's, but we were sort of at the same time, we're jackhammering, we're freezing, we're trying to eat food and you know, that was probably, you know, we know that was our low point, and it was, you could just feel the momentum shifting to you, because we got to like 35 Ks and we were feeling pretty good. And then it was kind of like, we were talking about it afterwards. Well, I was, because Vaughan doesn't understand this analogy, but it was like a cricket match because he's from America. But it was like in cricket, like we had a great, like we had an opening partnership of 100 and then we just lost three quick wickets.
And then all of a sudden the opposition are on the front foot and you're like, what's happening?
But it was that funny thing where, you have to be realistic about it too. Like it also, it's very, the fun of the event, it humbles you. Like you can't, there's like, we have to, you know, like we're like, hey, we're not, like we back ourselves. We know we'll get through this. We love each other. We're like here for the adventure. But we also have to be realistic. Like we're pretty shit at paddling. So this isn't a surprise. Like Vaughan, we had this moment where Vaughan's like, man, this is not like, what are we doing wrong, man? Like, we came over with Topsport at the start of January, just so we've done the WIMAC one time, which was massive. Like, we just wouldn't have made it without those guys. So huge to actually have seen the WIMAC before doing it. So Vaughan's saying there, he's like, man, we've been down this river. We didn't fall out. Like, what's different? And I was like, well, we're not here with two great instructors, like, telling us exactly where to go. And we have no experience with this discipline. So, like, we can't be surprised by how bad things are going. So that's, you know, it's like you do this event to seek out a little bit of
adversity. Yep.
Well, for us, it was like, obviously, if you're racing for a podium, you don't want adversity. And we weren't after it. We just knew it would come, and sort of like in whatever form it does. And this would be the same, I'm sure, for everyone would have.
Yeah.
Everyone has exactly a version of this story. We're like, well, when the adversity comes, you're shocked and you're cold and you're freezing and you can't feel your hands and you've lost all your confidence in your paddling. But you also know that it was going to come at some stage, and this was probably the test you were waiting for. And, you know, we were able to have a laugh and keep trucking.
And that's cool that you got yourself back on and again and got yourself started again, and obviously had a really good back half the paddle, and obviously went pretty well. So that's the fun bit, reflecting on it now to say, actually, that was a bit shit, but we didn't lose another wicket for the rest of the day.
Yeah, exactly. We managed to. We brought in a night watchman.
Just four defense. It was
the paddling equivalent of just blocking every ball. Just get around every corner.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. So any other sort of key highlights, key moments of the event, as the event as a whole? Like, you travel with us, met you on Wednesday, come across and saw you again on Sunday across those days. Is there any other highlights as the event as a whole that were pretty awesome for you?
I think it's just I think it's that thing of the, you know, they as everyone says, like, you can't race the race before the race, and you can simulate a few things that you hope will be handy to draw on out there in your training. But again, as someone that's not an athlete, like, you know, I'm not coming at it as an athlete, I'm not running go past like 10 times before the event, so much of it was making calculated guesses before the event to see if they kind of paid off during the event. And I think overall that's the lasting memory, where you know it's just that satisfaction you have of the culmination of even just thinking about it a lot for a lot of months, that you back at photos of the early on that Friday morning of just, like, you know, racking the bike for the first time or walking down to the beach. And it's just very fun to kind of look back and go, gee, that was a really long time ago. And
yes,
for us anyway, for you, it was, you know, not that long ago. For you, it was many hours less, but for us, it was like a really long time ago. And that is the fun of realizing, like, this event only happens with tons and tons of organization. Like, you know, having teams, having you guys was just like, we were, anytime we wanted a laugh, because we also traveled, as you guys know, with two of our buddies from Australia, John and Peter, who've been my mates for a long time. Anytime we felt like a huge laugh, we just went, gee, imagine if John and Hato were our support crew. We just wouldn't have made it to the beach on day one. No offense to those guys. They would admit that as well. So there's just such a huge production that goes into it. I think that's why you get that overall general feeling of like, what a special event, because it only happens through like a phenomenal amount of like, it's so impractical, like the amount of stuff you have to get organized blew my mind.
Yes.
But that's what makes it such a beautiful event and gives you those moments, like, you know, standing at the top of Goat Pass and looking back and seeing the vista, and, you know, laughing as you go through the run, or like it was an epic morning, we took off on the bike, it was all foggy, like going along and misty, and like all the natural beauty. You only get that because so much effort's gone in from all these other people.
Absolutely. That's awesome. Hey, I just want you to touch on, we had Andy Sloan on our podcast pre-race, and you actually ended up finishing the second day with Andy. He actually paddled a bit quicker than you, which was interesting, and was a wee way ahead of you on the bike.
Stayed in the boat, which might, again, is further evidence to this shocking theory I've come up with, that if you train for something and you periodically increase your load and experience, you get better at it. And
this
is also true. But yeah, Andy, he had a great paddle. You know, but I heard his episode, and for anyone, I'm sure a lot of people listening also heard his story. And this is before I met him. A really phenomenal Rory, obviously, like, just mind blowing, and put everything in perspective too. Like, you know, it's easy to get wrapped up in your own head and your own race and your own story. And you know, I'm turning up to start like going, oh no, I've got a calf cramp, or like I'm worried about my calf. I've strained it in the days leading up to the race. And then you're like, man, Andy's doing this in the middle of six rounds of chemo. Like, he couldn't walk around the block 2 weeks ago. Like, just such a phenomenal story. And then we were lucky enough to get to meet him and hang out with him in the days leading up to the race. And he's such a legend, and just massively, what a gift that, you know, he's, he gave everyone around him to see that example that he was setting of just someone clear, like purely completing that event that I knew I'd trained for, and like in had the fortune of like actual, you know, being able to train for it. He's doing it on muscle memory and willpower. And he was pushing himself through. And what really struck me, you know, as a dad, knowing that his kids were at the finish line and that was what was pushing him along, and knowing that he was giving this example to them that will echo for the rest of their lives to go, that my dad was. Like, that was a very, very special story to witness. And then, as fate would have it, on the outskirts of Christchurch, Vaughan and I ran into Andy riding solo, and we went, man, what a great way to, what a great way to finish. Like, this is it's to what we were talking about before. It's the people that are out there on the course that I think the more you look outwards, the more fun you have, even though we all, like, you're in the pain cave, but you have to be a bit internally focused. But it was always my theory is the more outward focused you are, the more special the event feels. So to be able to ride in with Andy and then kind of front row seats as we ran up the chute with him and watched his family come out with him and run up the chute, that was, you know, that was incredibly special to witness. And what a guy to see, see him put himself through that.
Yeah, that's awesome, isn't it? Great to be able to, and a big kudos for you guys to actually going, no, we've been tracking along. We've got a big tailwind here, but we're just going to actually, we've got to slow down. And in the grand scheme of things, that's going to mean more to me than improving my bike time by 3 minutes.
Exactly. And it really did. I mean, it's like, you know, again, we're right at the back of the pack. Like, if we said to someone, hey, we did a 70K ride, you know, in 2 hours or an hour and a half or 2.5 hours, no one cares. Like, I mean, we're some 8 hours off the pace at that stage. So, no, really, it's not like a trophy's going begging. There's a much clearer and more meaningful goal presented itself.
Yeah, no, that's awesome, Hamish. Couple of questions to finish up. What advice would you give to someone coming from overseas wanting to have a crack at this coast-to-coast gig?
Oh, really good question. Look, my advice is to get advice, like talking to people that have done it before easily, like listening to this podcast was really invaluable. Knowing that there's no way, I know this is a bit of a luxury, but there's no way the handbook, which is great, but can accurately portray what the event is. Like, I read that handbook a lot, and then coming over in January and doing a few days on the river with Top Sport and actually even just going slowly over Goat Pass, which turned out to be not that much slower than we did the race in, but like to see the terrain, to kind of like walk on it and get an idea of what you're signing up for. It's very, very possible. Like, there's many, many capable people who have never seen the course before and they just chuck themselves in, and that's awesome. But like, that was a huge difference for us. And also just understanding that there's three athletic disciplines in the race, and then the fourth is logistics by far.
Yep.
And talking to people that have experience. I mean, I was coming in with all the sorts of wild theories about how like comfort was king, and I was going to like change clothes at every transition. And just gently people would go, that's interesting, but you don't really see that a lot. You know, do your own thing, but you don't see that tons. Because there's just good ways to do it. Like, there is a lot of information out there. There's good advice people can give you on what like works for 95% of cases, and you don't. I also think, and I suffered from this enormously, like when you're really uncertain about something, you have like, I have a tendency to like over conflict, like just throw everything at it. Like, I left New Zealand with about 8 times more food and nutrition stuff than I used in the race. And I reckon, if I was to do it again in 2 weeks, the slight experience I would have gotten is like, just, you don't have to overcomplicate.
Keep it simple.
Just keep it simple. You'll be fine. Like, you're out there to do it. There's nothing that buying a $50 pair of socks is going to solve, that maybe just being a little bit more prepared and trained won't solve. Like, you only need a few bits and pieces to do the race really successfully.
Nice. So will we see you back on the start line again in the future once those cankles have improved?
Mate, look, it's a great— I know my relationship with Coast to Coast is not certainly not closed. I had a few people tell me beforehand, they're like, you do get a bit addicted to it, and my knees during the mountain run won't believe that I'm saying this. Like, they will be shocked and appalled to hear this. And they're right here listening.
I was going to say, they are listening, aren't they?
They're screaming at me right now. They're trying to unplug the computer. But I do think that there might be another adventure out there for us.
Yeah. Good job. Awesome, Hamish. Hey, thank you so much for your time. All the best for the recovery, getting right. Hopefully you've done some washing by now, a few days later. And we'll look forward to catching up with you soon.
We'll get around to that. Mate, thank you. And thanks to you were awesome running things out there, Rich. Quite phenomenal. I know you won't talk about this because you're too humble, but quite amazing that you're like leading, you come in like blitzing the field, leading the age group, something like sixth overall or something, and then just casually also just running all the team's EP stuff, like you'd driven there. That was quite amazing to see. I know you had a few hours to recover before we saw you at the end of each day, but it was unreal to you and the team out there. So thank you, mate.
Yeah, no, thank you. Well done, Hamish. Yeah, good job. Okay, we'll catch up soon.
See ya.
Cheers.
Great interview. Just two blokes that were having a really good time. I need to just butt in with a couple of things. The first thing is, and I'll get this in so that Glenn doesn't get upset about this, is that what Hamish wasn't saying was that you don't have to read the handbook. I heard him say that the handbook doesn't tell you the story, but just read the handbook, everybody. Read the handbook.
Yeah, let's read the handbook, exactly.
I tell you, one of the funny things was, and he's talking about his knees grumbling there, was that he came off the run, came through the finish chute, and he basically stood there and told us that his knees were writing nasty emails to his inbox, but he wasn't going to read them till Monday. So he was ignoring what they were saying. They were saying a lot, but I know it was great. Like, it's the Coast to Coast. Like, it's an equalizer, right? It doesn't matter where you come from, what walk of life, who you are, what you are. It gets— when that hooter goes, when Juddy gets on the end of one of those hooters on a Friday morning or a Saturday morning, everybody's all on a very, very level playing field from there on in.
Absolutely. No, it's very good. Yeah, absolutely. Hey, should we have a chat to Glenn? He's been waiting patiently in the backstage there.
He has. I thought he would have just been taking the time for another snooze and trying to catch up on a few things. Mate, is his eyes open there? Like, he was just—
doesn't look like he's had much sleep in the last few days. How you doing, Glenn?
How you going, fellas?
Good, mate.
Good. Are you still on a high? Were you battling? Where are you at on the sort of grand scheme of things?
You know, I'm good. I basically, yesterday afternoon at 2 o'clock, I got my pack and I headed out into the hills, and I got out today at about 3 p.m. I sort of just went out there by myself and wandered around, and it was good. So I'm in a good space. So that was my reset. Yeah.
Good. Nice. Good. Hey, well, I need to say well done. This is a road show. It's a massive event, and the weather, whatever comes up, you guys have dealt with it, and you've got a fantastic team around you, obviously, but you carry the can, and you're the one that sort of has to make the final decision. So well done on a fantastic 42nd edition of the Kathmandu Coast to Coast.
Yeah, thank you. I just emailed all the team, and I reckon it's probably one of the best ones we've managed to pull off yet. So it just, like you say, I've got a really great crew, and always say the right people in the right places, and it just seems to, seems to happen now. So it's a cool thing to be involved with, for sure.
We've asked Simone and we've asked Hamish and a few others about will they be back.
Are you asking me? As long as it's too much fun, to be honest. So as long as our team sticks around, yeah, I'll be back. I've got a few things that I want to tidy up within the event. It's actually a bit like racing. You sort of do one and you always have areas that you think you can do better, and organizing events exactly the same. You know, you sit there and say, yeah, we're debriefing us. Oh, I could do that better. We could do that better. So it's kind of the fun of it. And Yep. Yeah, we've got such a great team. We have a lot of good fun as well. It's a cool thing to be part of.
I guess if you didn't do it, weren't the race organizer, you'd end up having to do it. So it's sort of a bit of a trade off, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit daunting nowadays, Richard. So yeah, I mean you're still chipping away, so you make me feel guilty all the time. But that would probably be what would happen, I suppose.
Yeah, well, what you're doing is you're preserving your knees, aren't you? So when you do make a comeback, your knees will still be good.
Yeah, well, the 25Ks I did with a pack just at the moment, my knees don't feel that great, to be honest. Yeah, maybe, I'm not sure.
Yeah, good stuff. Hey, you picked the racing to be extremely tight in that elite field. What are your thoughts in reflection?
Yeah, it was awesome. I obviously got quite excited about that, and I mean, obviously that males field I think was the closest that we've had in years, so it was exceptional. You know, I think was it a minute and a half that separated the top two, and I mean after and super quick times, so it's quite phenomenal after 10 hours and 45 minutes of racing that there's a minute and a half between two people over that terrain. Like, that's quite incredible, you know. And I mean, obviously Simone had an amazing race and, you know, pretty much cemented the fact that she's definitely the strongest woman in multi-sport at the moment. And but beyond that, then the women's racing again was just really tight racing and, you know, a few changes during the day, etc. So it was awesome to watch.
Yeah, good stuff. And what about your newly introduced youth elite category? How good was that? The inaugural winners, 17-year-old Finn McKenzie from Marlborough had a fantastic couple of days, and Ella Julian from Whakatane took out the women's field as well. How does this feel to you on reflection, and what does it mean for the future of the event?
Yeah, it was cool actually, and it's probably something we've just built on. 10 years ago Trojan took it over, and one thing that they wanted to push was sort of the secondary schools area, and that's definitely taken off. You know, we have schools coming back every year to compete in that, and as a result we've seen the spin-off of these young people coming through that have all done it during their schools, you know. Molly Sparks an example of that actually, and who have been competitive in the longest day as well. So all of a sudden we've got these young people coming through that have done it at school, and now they're actually, you know, quite talented athletes. And I was pretty excited to see that. And the racing was sensational, and probably the only one that didn't benefit from this is you, Richard. I think all these young folks coming in and sort of giving you a run for your money in that 2 days. Yeah,
that's right. But I mean, that's for me, like one of the things when I went about 5 years ago when I was like, oh, well, let's go and give this a nudge, is that I didn't feel that the 2 day especially wasn't that deep of a field. Whereas this year, like, it was awesome. And hats off to you guys and all those guys that turned up. That a lot of those two-day athletes would have still been competitive in the longest day field, but the 2 day is an awesome race, so it's really cool to have a bit more depth there and really mix it up at the front end of that field.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you know, I look at Finn who won it. I mean, he's got a lot of options in terms of his sporting career. You know, he's been over racing mountain bikes over in Europe, and you know, he's a real talent. So it's cool that, you know, I think that 2 day sort of competition thing allows him to come race multi-sport as well as focus on his other disciplines as well. And, you know, to commit to a longer stay at that age, you sort of got to, that's got to be, you know, everything's got to be thrown in. So, yeah, no, it works really well, I think. And I'm excited to see what it brings out in the future. And hopefully it gives some of our young people who, you know, look at multi-sport as a sport, you know, something to sort of aim for.
That's right, 100%. So where are we at for next year? There's a bit of, yep, I'm keen to be back next year. What's happening with this ballot situation this time around?
Yeah, so like I spoke last time, the ballot's up and open. It's sort of the same as, yeah, pretty much everything's happening. So as we talked about last time, so get your name in the ballot. There's a bit of questioning. Like I said last time, if you were on the wait list last year, you would have been automatically entered into the ballot. If you're unsure of that, just put your name in the ballot. Our system will make sure that you've only got the two entries like you're allowed. There is a large number of people on the ballot already. We sort of knew that had happened. And then, you know, come February 28th, I think it is, the ballot closes and we'll be putting it into the system to basically issue entries, and you have a certain amount of time to get your entry in. So, sort of status quo from last time, really. So, just get your name down in there.
I've got on my notes February the 21st. That's next Wednesday, a week away.
That might be the last day, correct, yeah.
The answer to that is just check the website. Don't take either of us.
We're only 3 days out from the event, so yeah, the brain's not functioning fully at the moment.
Yeah, good job.
The answer is do it now.
Yeah, that's right. Get it in now. Yeah, and that'll be drawn out then. So, yeah.
Good job. What if we lost something from the race? What happens there?
Yeah, so lost properties all available in Mytham, please. Yeah, please email us. That information's all been, it'll be released in a newsletter today. So, you know, email us and, yeah, you can either come out to Mytham and pick it up or it will be posted back once we get your details.
Mm-hmm. And obviously you guys are always looking to improve and see what you can do better. There's a feedback survey that's currently being circulated around. Is that true?
Yep. So we definitely read into those feedback surveys. So please fill those out and send them in. It's good information for us. So yeah, appreciate if you guys can all fill it out, and we definitely go through those. We can't promise that everything you suggest will happen. It's just there's a lot of other things that go on behind the scenes. So so get those filled out, and that helps us a lot in terms of our planning, because often people see things that we miss. We can't be everywhere at any time. So some of the things I was quite stoked on this year as a result of some of that feedback is how good were the Klondike toilets, Angus. So it's sensational, aren't they?
They were good, mate. Except it, like, I shouldn't complain here, but I think it was about 5:30 a.m. and I'm sure we were supposed to be all getting up then anyway, but we may have just been located right next to about where the truck pulled up to really give it its first.
He was emptying them out. It's probably time to get up anyway.
That's a highlight. And then how good was Mr. Whippy on Friday at Klondike? That was another thing.
It was
good, wasn't it? Yeah.
No, it's good. Did you hear any stories? Like, you're in and around and you've obviously got radios going and things. Did you hear any good stories over the weekend that we wouldn't have heard?
I think that Sam Pierce one with the shoe was definitely one of my highlight. And then his name just escapes me, but the competitor that was doing the longest day and basically one of the school students' bikes.
Gareth Holbrook.
He threw him his bike on the side of the road. That was pretty cool. The radios, there was definitely plenty of chatter, like on the river. So we got to hear, I think one of the ones that probably had me listening out fairly carefully was when someone said, I've just had boat number 532 go past. However, there's not a paddler attached to it. And that caused some concern at my end. But a bit of a chuckle as well. The radio's going all the time. But yeah, there's lots of things going on.
Hey, tell us about the river, because it was really, it was blustery. The wind was forecasted to be blustery, but decision was made to still go down, which was all in all the best decision that could have been made. Was it at any stage getting close to being not go?
Yeah, no, that wind forecast, we have parameters in terms of running the river, but they're not set and fast. And, Keith, everyone's probably met or heard from Keith, our river manager. He's got a lot of experience on that river. And there's a whole lot of different things that we take into consideration. And, the weather forecasting was probably spot on in the weekend, wasn't it? They said it was going to be windy on that Saturday. We knew it was going to be gusty in that gorge in certain areas. The one thing that worked in our favour in terms of that was that the river itself was probably the most docile in terms of features that it's been in a number of years. So we could actually target our support, like our jet boats and safety kayaks, to areas that actually had, were probably going to be more threatened by wind, to sort of take care of those areas. We took into consideration the fact that generally the day was going to be warm up until that southerly hit, but we were confident most people were going to be off the river by that time. So we look at all those parameters and say, look, do we feel that we can manage it? And yeah, when we looked at all those things, we were comfortable enough that we could, could manage the river in a way that, we considered, in a way that we considered safe. So, and I was stoked with the river team's management on the day. They definitely had their hands full, but they just seemed to manage it really well, calmly. And, we actually, the percentage of completion this year was probably one of the highest we've ever had in terms of the event in, the last 5 years that I've been involved anyway. So that was, that was probably a sign that how well that river was managed. So it was awesome. So, yeah.
Good job. Any last thoughts to wrap up the coaster 42nd running of the Kathmandu Coast to Coast 2024?
It was just an amazing weekend. And, thank you to everyone involved. It's like, everyone talks about why it's so special, and it is, it's the crews, it's the competitors, it's the support crews. Everyone's just buys into this thing. And I mean, you listen to Hamish Blake, who he is sort of a big deal, and this is a guy. And for me, it's kind of cool for this event that a lot of people probably think that we go out and pay him to come along. Well, this guy emailed me sort of 2 years ago saying, I'd really like to do this one day, and he emailed back this year going, I think this is the year, that's the sort of event we've got going on where a guy actually hunts this out and then you know, it comes and does it, and then speaks to you for 20 minutes without you even asking a question, really, Richard, just like, you know, enthusiastic about it. And they came up and yarned to me, and they just loved it, you know. And that's what we've got going on when guys like that turn up, and actually just for the experience, we've got such a good thing going on that it's it's an awesome thing that's happening. And yeah, we'll probably do it all again next year, and I'm sure it'll be just as big and better again, hopefully.
Well done, well done. Well, you have got a great team, and make sure you do go and celebrate the fact of you've had a fantastic win on the weekend with all the great stuff that you give people to with the coast to coast and the whole environment that it creates around the country and around the world, people training for this thing. So you can be immensely proud of what you've done and what you're helping to put on.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks from your end for all your input. Good to see you guys out there.
Yeah, good job.
Cheers, we love doing it, mate. It's great to be a part of everybody. Thanks, Glenn. We will see you, if not before, next year, I would suggest. Well, maybe later in the year. Let's see if we're being kept on, Richard, eh?
Yeah, we'll do that. Yeah, we're not saying too much at this stage. Well done. Okay, cheers, Glenn.
The jury's still out. Yeah. Thanks, Glenn. And that is just about the end of our Kathmandu Coast to Coast podcast series. Our fifth series at this, our fifth year running it, trying to bring everybody out there as much information as we can about such a great race.
That's right. Hey, just before we do go, I just want to mention Rob Glassford. In the last couple of episodes, we've talked a little bit about him. He got a last-minute entry in the last second, and then he sort of emailed about jumping on board as he was he was trying to ride up Evans Pass, and an old lady pushing a pushchair walked past him or something like that. That's where he started. And I just need to share, I'm not sure if he was kayaker. Was it 532 that was paddling down the river without his boat? But Rob actually made it. He made it. He loved it. He'll be back. He had a fantastic time. What do you say? Miracles do happen. So he's pretty fizzed up about his weekend. So well done, Rob, for doing that. That's fantastic. And also I need to have a quick shout out to Robin, who come all the way from Holland to complete this event. He missed out on the longest day cut off by 1 minute last year. So had a job to do, left his family back in Holland, has been training hard, has been sick, dealing with winter in Europe, paddling on a river in his dry suit because it's so damn cold, etc. And he managed to complete the event as well. So he was absolutely over the moon. So a big shout out to Robin to get that done as well.
Yeah, look, I have got a little video clip of Robin of his finish line interview, and I think we'll go out to that and we'll play that little bit out when we say goodbye for the last time for our, fifth series at the Kathmandu Coast to Coast. Richard, final thoughts of the 42nd running?
Fantastic weekend. The weather was awesome. The vibe was awesome. If you're listening to this and you think, what should I, shouldn't I? Just have a crack. Put your name down, figure out how later, and it'll be the best thing that you've ever done.
Yep. Find yourself a kayaker, eh, Richard?
Yeah, that's right. A fast one will help for a team. Yeah, but more on that later.
Hey, look, everybody, thank you to everybody that was on tonight. Of course, our winners of the Kathmandu Coast to Coast 2024, Simone Mayer, five-time champion, going to be back to have a go at six. I'm sure we've talked her into that. Needs a bike sponsor too, FYI, if you didn't catch that. Hamish Elliott, 10 hours, 48 minutes. What a sterling effort that was, right from the start all the way to the end. Congratulations, Hamish. Well done on being able to hold that trophy up high. To Lizzie Morgan. Lizzie, congratulations on your two-day journey and getting to the finish line, raising some money for a good cause. Richard Greer, of course, our veteran champion once again, back-to-back-to-back, a true champion you are, mate. And again, like Hamish mentioned in his thing, there's a lot more to it. Of course, Sandra working hard in the background to put the packages together that we do and to keep everybody on task throughout a weekend. But Richard, without you, Team CP would be nothing. So a big thank you to you, mate.
Yeah, and a big thank you to you as well for all your enthusiasm across these podcasts, but also the weekend. You were doing some fantastic stuff out there, and it's been really interesting watching some of that footage that you put up afterwards, where you actually got to and what you got up to over that weekend. So well done you as well.
Well, that goes to two things here. Big thanks to Kathmandu, to Coast to Coast, for allowing us to be a part of that, because it's pretty special to be a part of that and be allowed basically an all-access pass. There's also my old mate Chris, who tags along with me behind the camera, and I said in our wrap-up one that I push-pull and drag him around the countryside trying to get what we want to get out of, and I can't do it without him. I can't imagine trying to go back to how we used to do this, Richard, with a golden mic and trying to hold a phone with a cord to it and all those sort of things. It's been so great. Been able to have a companion along the way and a bloody good friend along that as well. So again, thank you to everybody. That's probably good it. Job.
Well done. One last comment. Dream big, start small, act now. Over and out.
Copy. And this is Robin's finish line interview. Saturday night on New Brighton Beach here at the end of the Coast to Coast. Robin's made it here, mate. Oh, we are proud of you.
Very proud. It's I've been dreaming of this about 12-13 years. It's just last year I was about 1 minute too late at Woodstock, and now I just nailed it. Even with 10 swims during the kayak, I'm just It's just the most beautiful. It's the hardest. It's the worst. It's the best. It's just everything.
It's well, the best Kiwi event in New Zealand, this.
Crossing New Zealand in 1 or 2 days.
Why do I do it? Because I love it.
3, 2, 1, go!